They come across a DVD of Faith Petrick giving a 90th birthday party concert at Freight and Salvage, which is our Bay Area premier venue for folk music. And it was a good show. It was a good DVD. I've also been interested in the uses of video versus audio. I think that audio was a big step, but video has some drawbacks that sometimes you can see a little bit more of what's going on, and sometimes it just intimidates people.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, I think it's working. It seems to be good this time. The lights are on. Maybe when I moved the mic, when you were talking, I hit that somehow. Okay, so, yeah, I'm with Jarvis Rich once again at Archie Green's house on January 24th, 2007, and he's a former member of the Campus Folk Song Club, and I'm asking him a few questions about that experience. So, let's see. Maybe you could start with how you met Vic Lucas, because that was a good story.
Yeah, well, I was at the campus activities night, and all the organizations around the university had an exhibit at the student union, and I went from one to the other, and nothing was appealing to me. I thought that it was really awful. I came to the Campus Folk Song Club exhibit, and Dick Kinnear and Vic Lucas were there. Some other people would come and go, and they invited me, Vic Lucas invited me over to dinner at his house, and I showed up the next day, and he didn't seem to remember. And he suddenly brightened up, and he said that if he invited me, I was welcome, and that, as a matter of fact, they were going to have for dinner chocolate pudding. But I had to wash my own dish.
That's great. So you mentioned earlier about the role that the club played on campus as a form of counterculture. Maybe you could say something about that.
Well, it was very important to me, and there was a definite feeling that if anything was too popular, that it was not for us. And the Kingston's Trio was on the top 40 with many of their songs, and that's how people heard about it. And then they would hear a progression of things. They might hear less popular things, maybe Peter, Paul, and Mary, and then Pete Seeger, and then Woody Guthrie, and then they would begin to listen to very early recordings from Alan Lomax. And gradually they would go from one thing to another until they became traditional music lovers.
Okay. Could you say a little bit about the impact the club had on you overall?
It was a big stepping stone in my life. I was in one workshop, totally unrelated, where they were interested in stepping stones in your life. And that was a real left turn when I found that exhibit and got drawn into the Campus Folk Song Club. It became a very important part of my social life, and it continues to this day to influence my choice of friends, my interests.
You mean the kinds of people that you tend to associate with? Or?
Certainly. For one thing, I was what they called an independent as opposed to a fraternity man, and there was a big gulf socially at the university at that time. There wasn't too much you had to do with fraternity people if you were not a member. And everybody had their own interests. And that took up a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm. Were fraternities really large? Was it a big part of campus life at Illinois the way it is at a lot of Midwestern schools?
Yeah, I think about half the people were members of fraternities at that time. Yeah.
Well, I asked you about this already, but if you could say something about how the atmosphere of the 60s, the political climate, might have impacted the club. I know you said that it was kind of a loose connection.
Well, I think the interest in folk music has always been kind of left-wing. It's democratic. You're interested in not high culture, but in culture of people that were able to communicate their music without access to powerful distribution systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so there tends to be a interest in real people as opposed to powerful institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there was a great surge in a lot of things that were youth-oriented. And I graduated from the University of Illinois in 1963, and I was in Chicago in 1968 when the Democratic Convention kind of heralded the coming of my generation to politics.
Mm-hmm.
And that all was developing during the time that I was in school.
Maybe you talked earlier about there was this 15-year period of where you kind of had your musical interests, or at least your playing of music was kind of dormant. Could you maybe say a little bit about that and rediscovering it?
Well, I didn't play music.
Mm-hmm.
After I moved to California, I met my girlfriend at the campus bar at the University of Chicago, and after she got her master's there, she wanted to come to Stanford to study, and I quit my job and I came out and I retired. I just rode my motorcycle in the hills until I ran out of money, and then I got a job at Stanford Research Institute, which is an institute affiliated with Stanford. It got kicked out of Stanford shortly after that because they did too much government research, like for the Navy.
And you mentioned this jug band that you're involved with?
Yes. Well, my friend Annie Fehrenwald had a group of people that would come to his house, and then he was he moved it to this cafe, which was a cafe of kind of left-wing people. They had a poetry night, they had a jazz night, and he instituted jug band night there, which the owner never really liked, but we just came into that establishment and took it over long before I got with it. And I saw a newspaper in a poster shop in North Beach saying that some poet had died, and they'd had a wake for him there at the Cafe Bay Bar, so I went to see what the place looked like. And I found that my friend had been there already and went there every night. And so I began to go occasionally on Saturday night and play my fiddle. And I would sit in the corner and play my fiddle, and eventually I began to find where everything was. And
mm-hmm.
Now I'm regular member of the band.
And I was asking about different people that it might be worth talking to. You mentioned Roger Ebert and this song that you and he sang whenever you performed. Could you?
Parody of the Streets of Laredo, and I would do a duet with Roger Ebert at the Folk Sings, and sometimes we would have 1,000 people at the Folk Sings, and Roger would get up with me, and we would sing this. I'm going to recite it. As I walked out on the streets of Laredo, as I walked out in Laredo one day, as I walked out on the streets of Laredo, I spied a young cowboy, and he spied me, too. I see by your outfit that you are a cowboy. I see by your outfit that you are one, too. We see by our outfits that we are both cowboys. If you buy an outfit, you can be a cowboy, too.
That's great. Well, I think we've touched on the high points, at least. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I think you got it on your other tape recorder, but okay. I'm remembering that we went to the University of Indiana and gave a folk concert there, and people from Indiana came to the University of Illinois, and I remember Maine Smith had a bluegrass group, and he had a bluegrass version of House Carpenter that I loved at the time. I remember Neil Rosenberg came along with him.
Okay. Maine Smith is over in the East Bay. He lives in the East Bay, and my friend Adam Machado is in touch with Maine. I mentioned him yesterday. He wrote an article for the JAF on bluegrass music, a very important article when he was a young graduate student at Indiana. He was Maine and Neil were friends.
Uh-huh.
They both wrote. When did you join the Folk Song Club?
Oh, right away, when I went to the University of Illinois. I was a freshman. I was away from home. I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm. Was it your first semester?
It was my first semester, yeah. The chess club had an exhibit that was similar, and I was a chess player, and I suddenly realized that I was not university caliber chess player. I just didn't want to take the time, spend the time with that.
Yeah.
And Folk Song Club was a little more sociable.
Yeah, and this was an exhibit you saw up there somewhere?
Well, it was called Activities Night or something like that. And at the student union, all the student activities would put up some kind of exhibit, have people come down there and introduce themselves to anybody that was wandering around the union that night.
So Vic Lucas was older by this time? He was a junior or senior?
Vic Lucas was, his father was a professor. He grew up in the university high school, so he was.
So he's from?
He was about my age. Uh-huh. He might have been a little ahead of me in school, but I might not have been too.
I didn't realize he was from then, from Champaign. Or
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything else, having done this twice now. I don't know. Is there anything else?
Well, let's take a break and
okay.
See what Archie has.